It's tremendous. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're interested in the book of Luke, chapter 2. The book of Luke, chapter 2. We are continuing in our series of Unwrapping Christmas. Luke, chapter 2. And we'll begin our reading this morning in verse number 8. Luke, chapter 2. Verse number 8. I'll ask if you will stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of God's precious word. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That's the book of Luke, chapter 2. Verses 8 through 20, if correctly read. I want to preach on this thought today, a watchful Christmas. A watchful Christmas. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for allowing us to gather in your house today and read a portion of your word. Father, thank you for your people. God, may your hand be upon them today. Lord, would you touch us today and help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to speak with an ability that only you can grant into the ears of hearers today, Father, that might receive the engrafted word. God, that we might chew on and we might be nourished, that we might mature on, Father, that we might mature into a greater faith with you. Lord, I pray that there might be somebody today that's listening, that might be sitting here watching from home. Father, that's never been saved. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that you'd be pleased to save their soul. That, Lord, this be the day that they'd have the courage and the faith to bow their knee and call upon the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for all you do. We ask your help now in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Walking around through the Ark and the Creation Museum, and the Lord speaking to me about manifold things. Went in even to the 4D theater to watch a thing about the creation. And my wife went in with me there. We were running just a little bit later than everybody else. She was trying to fellowship. And we went in the back when we wasn't supposed to enter once it closed. But I said, I got family in there. He said, well, come right on in. And we go to sit down on the back row. And I grabbed the end seat and she was going to sit beside me, and about a minute and a half later, I said something, and it got bright enough in there to see, and she wasn't even there. She had moved halfway down to go sit with, I think, Shirley and Jeff was down there, and I was sitting here, and I was talking to myself. It was in the blackness of night. It was so dark in that theater, and while I was sitting there in the blackness of, God dwells in the thick darkness. While I was sitting there, the Lord just spoke to me about those angels keeping, or those shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. And I got to thinking about the darkness of night. There may be somebody here tonight. It may be daytime. It may be, 11:30, 11:40, whatever time it is now. today, this morning, where we are. But it may be that in your life there's a darkness. There's a nighttime feeling. You feel like there is no light in the situation you're living in right now. And I feel like the Lord wants me to speak this to you. There's been many a person who has endured a long, hard night through the cover of darkness, through the cover of not knowing what to do, through the cover of brokenness and pain. And I thought about April the 14th, 1865, and how America went to bed thinking that the long, bloody Civil War was over. But they woke the next morning and they discovered that President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. I think about December the 6th, 1941, when America went to bed watching war spread over Asia and all over Europe. But when they awoke the next morning, there was a surprise attack by the Japanese on Pearl Harbor. I thought about June the 5th, 1944, and it was America went to bed wondering about Hitler and the Nazi armies. When are they going to be defeated? And they woke the next day that the Allied invasion at Normandy, there on D-Day, had begun. There are nights that I've mentioned here that's made radical changes to the world. Other nights have brought incredible circumstances to pass, and the world failed to notice. The night Jesus Christ was born was an ordinary night from a human standpoint, and the shepherds are watching their sheep like they typically did, and the people down in the villages of Israel down below, they're sleeping off another long, hard day. And as those shepherds are watching their sheep, Herod has no idea that his kingdom has been invaded. The new king, the Lord Jesus, is about to be revealed. And the world drifted off to sleep, not knowing that the Lord was transacting eternal business right on that spot. They did not realize that the Savior of the world was being born in Bethlehem. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough. And God Almighty is well pleased with the birth of his son, and he sends an angel to give the birth announcement. Oh, he doesn't give that birth announcement, that good news that must be shared. He doesn't give it to the emperor. He doesn't give it to the king. He doesn't give it to the religious rulers. He doesn't give it to the social elite. He sends this message of the announcement of the birth of the Son of God, the Savior of the world, to a bunch of lowly shepherds. Yeah. Number one, I want us to consider the appointment of these men. The Bible says in the same country, we know that Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem when she was great with child to pay their taxes. That's the city that they're from. We know that's the city that David was born in. They're of the lineage and the ancestry of David. And it just so happened that there in Bethlehem, upon that Judea hillside, were those lowly shepherds. Shepherds in their day are considered vile. They're considered ceremonially unclean. They're often not allowed to go into the temple or the tabernacle. They're considered to be the dregs of society. But to me, it's a picture of grace, and that God's message of the birth of his son came to the poor and to the miserable. That would have been me, dead, oh glory to God, dead in trespasses and in my sins, the dregs of society. And the grace of God found me in the depths of my depravity, and the message of God spoke unto me, and conviction fell upon me. And when I called upon his name, he forgave me of my sins, and he saved my sin-sick soul. Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. And he turns no one away that would call upon his holy name. I get to thinking about just outside of Bethlehem, those lowly shepherds receiving the message of grace. What are they doing there? They're keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, if you study at all, you'll find out that those lambs are the lambs, that flock, those flocks will be the lambs which will be sacrificed for the sins of mankind. Amongst that group, every year are born lambs that they would sacrifice at the Passover. So those lowly shepherds are watching the flock that will be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And right there, that very night, God's perfect Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born. It was a time in society when heads were bowed down low. It may be that, that this morning your head is bowed down low. You feel like the darkness of night is prevailing in your life. It feels like that heaven has been silent. There's been just a few words from the Lord for year after year after year. And back at the end, regular people were asleep and the shepherds were out watching in the cold, taking care of their flock. They're going to feed them and they're going to protect them and they're going to look after them. They're not going to leave them. They're not going to abandon them. They're awake. They're alert to the conditions that's going on around them. The word keeping is a Greek word, phileo. It means to isolate, to observe, to separate. It means to protect in a fixed position. Watch. What does that mean? It's phileo. It means to guard, pay close attention to. They're watching at nighttime until the sun comes upon them. Now think with me for a second. In the book of Exodus, the children of Israel have been in bondage 400 years. It's a time of darkness speaking a court for the Jews. 400-year period of darkness. They're crying out of affliction and out of oppression. And the Lord, amen, raises up Moses to be a deliverer. And we know that God told Moses, He said, I want you to go take a lamb. Let's read about it in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. He says in Exodus chapter 12 in verse number 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. You see that? He's changing the calendar. He is getting ready to move heaven and earth to deliver His people out of bondage. And He's even changing the calendar, which would have been the seventh month. He said, This month will be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. He's changed the whole calendar for them. Speak, that, you don't think that's important, but honey, that is very important. This is the Passover we're speaking about. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of their souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. These shepherds are keeping watch over their flock by night. There is a Passover lamb that is selected to die for the sins of the people. That lamb, listen, look with me, look at the progression. In verse 3, it is a lamb. In verse 4, it's the lamb. Has a lamb become the lamb in your life? Verse 5, it progresses to your lamb. Has a lamb become the lamb? Has he become your lamb? Amen. Jesus is our lamb. Amen. The Bible says that verse 6, you shall keep it the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood, strike it upon the two side posts, and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And every year they continued this feast because that night God miraculously delivered His people. Jesus is that final lamb. He's the first, the foremost, and the final lamb that would ever have to be sacrificed for the sins of mankind. Well, hallelujah. Think about a lamb. I mean, what is God's plan to free Israel from bondage? Shedding the blood of a lamb? I mean, God's plan is wrapped up in a lamb. One of the most gentle, meek, docile, timid, defenseless creatures ever created. And I've seen them over there. The lamb, it had no fangs. It had no claws. It can't run fast. It can't fight. It can't frighten nothing. It just seems to present itself for the slaughter. And you know what the symbol for Egypt was? I saw it. It was a serpent upon their crown. And here comes the battle between the lamb and the serpent. And it looks like the serpent is going to defeat the lamb. But think about how this hissing, harmful, pain-inflicting serpent is going to be defeated by a lamb. But hear me, when the lamb sheds its blood, there's forgiveness of sins. Woo! Hear me this morning. If there's no shedding of the blood, there is no remission for sins. And the appointment of these men, the appointment of these shepherds, was to hear the message that the Lamb of God has been born. Amen. Number two, there is the astonishment of the moment. Verse 9 in our text. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Can you just imagine? The angel of the Lord. There you are, watching your sheep on what you think is an ordinary night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. God's Shekinah glory appeared unto them on the Judean hillside. Visible, brilliant, dazzling light. The angel has just left the presence of a thrice holy God to come down to these lowly, poverty-stricken shepherds that are considered unclean and begin to speak to them. Now, the glory of God has appeared before. It appeared to Moses in a burning bush. It came down at the dedication of the temple so great that they could not stand to minister. And here the glory of God has fallen again. And the words are megaphobia. And it means great fear, sore afraid. Fear gripped these men. So much so, Preacher Darren, I think they're surprised. Honey, they're a lot more than surprised. This is not surprise. This is God in His holiness and the Shekinah glory of God falling upon them. And they are paralyzed, gripped with fear. I'm talking to somebody right now. You've got things in your life that has crippled, handicapped, paralyzed you. There are events that have taken place in the last few months, and you are living in the darkness of night, and fear has gripped your heart, and you are sore. I'm talking to somebody. You are sore afraid because of the happenings in your life. But God has you in mind. But God has you at the center of His attention. But God, His focus is upon you. He knows that you're sore afraid. Now hear me. The divine holiness of God has astonished these shepherds. Thirdly, there's the announcement of the messenger. What did the messenger have to say? Verse 10. The angel said unto them, fear not. He knew they were afraid. How do you know? God told him to tell them. You don't have to be afraid. I've not come with bad intentions. I've come with good intentions. I've come to be a blessing. I want to give you good news. I have a message for you. Will you look at me for a second? I've come to give you good news. God is thinking about you. God is concerned for you. God is burdened and is looking towards you. Right now, in this time of night, in this time of great fear. He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is a personal message. This is not, I mean, I know it's for everybody, but it's also personally just for you. Amen. I was sitting there this morning in church, and the Lord said, I want you to go tell so-and-so that I love them. Lord, they already know that the Lord loves them. I mean, you tell them every day. God said, you get up out of your seat if you want to preach, and you go tell them right now that the Lord loves them, and you hug them since you disobeyed me to start with. Yes, sir. And somebody knows who that is this morning, because I had to get up and be obedient and go hug their neck and say, Lord loves you. Want me to tell you that this morning. You must preach, preacher, that's the craziest thing. This message, God loves everybody. Amen. But it sure is great to know that he comes personally just to you. Amen. And he says, God loves you and God loves me. Look how personal this message is. He says in verse number 11, for unto you personally is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He didn't just come for the whole world. He came to me. He didn't just die for the whole world. He died for me. He died for my sins. He died for my deeds. He died for my wickedness. He died for my trespasses. He died for my iniquities. He died for me. The stripes that I couldn't get past, seeing the cross down there at the Creation Museum and how he hung on that cross and suffered blood. I couldn't get by to just to think he did that for me. He's brought this message of good news to me. To the poor and the miserable and the wretched. Woo! It's a powerful message. This is God come down in the baby skin. Amen. And look at these three names. These three names that he gives him. He calls him Savior. A baby. Savior. Oh, yes. He's come, he's born to lay down his life so that lost sinners like me and lost sinners like you could be saved. He's called Christ. That's the anointed one, the Messiah. Come to fulfill all prophecy. Come to fulfill all scripture. Come to take care of all things. Not one jot or one tittle will not be fulfilled. He is called Lord. He is not just Lord, but Lord of Lords. He is sovereign God. He is sovereignly, divinely, supernaturally in control of all things. When I consider the heavens and all that he's done and how he put us on this earth and gave us life and sunshine and water and how the earth just so happens to spin around the sun 365 times a year and one time every day, it just so happens. Honey, I'm telling you, that's a divine, holy, detailed God, and he has you and me in mind. I can't help but get excited. God's been good to us. His announcement is powerful. Maybe your heart's filled with fear. Maybe you've got fear about your health or fear about your family or fear about your job, fear about the economy, fear about the world's conditions. You cut the TV on and man, it brings fear to your heart about the conditions of the world. But we need not fear. We have good tidings of great joy which has been given to us. It's amazing how little we cut on the preaching and how much we cut on the world's news. The preaching is good tidings of great joy. We need to hear it more and more and more. Amen. Why, Preacher Darren, is it good tidings? Because Christ the Savior has been born. He has given his life and he's risen again and he saved our souls and we're on our way to heaven, youngins. Praise his holy name. That's why we get excited. Verse 12, the angel, his announcement, he says, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now think about it. He whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, he's so great, is laying there wrapped up in swaddling clothes, which is death clothes, laying in a lonely manger because there's no room for him in the inn. And there he lays. God Almighty come to bleed and die for us. The Lamb of God. Verse 13. When this announcement is made, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, 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 goodwill toward men. God has nothing but good intentions for you and me. Wow. They are already bewildered just with the presence of one angel. They're completely paralyzed in fear. And now a multitude of the heavenly host declaring the glory of God in their ears. Woo. Can you just imagine that announcement? Extra, extra. Read all about it. Amen. But wait, there's more. Look with me in verse 15. We see fourthly, and I'm rounding the curve here. I'm about finished. Number four. There is the acknowledgement of the Messiah. Verse 15. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. These shepherds, they're going to make a decision. They're not dissecting the information. They're not debating the information. Were those angels Democrats or were they Republicans? I mean, who do you reckon they voted for? Wonder if they've been vaccinated or not. Should I wear my mask or should I not wear my mask? They did not debate. They did not dissect. They did not do any. They did not doubt the message. They looked at each other and they made a decision, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. They believed the message as it was told to them. Now that's just blowing my mind, because that pronoun us, these shepherds, can you imagine nighttime? You can't see a whole lot in the darkness. It's cold outside. I mean, their heads are down. The Romans are oppressing them. There is affliction on every head. Don't you know, Paul said, did you hear about what happened the other day? I mean, it was what's been happening in our community. It's unbelievable what the government is doing to us. I'm just telling you. Can you imagine their talk? And all of a sudden, that angel appears and begins to speak to them. That would cause your heart to look up. Some of you, will you hear me for a minute? You need your heart to be lifted up. You need your heart to start looking up. Quit looking out and around and start looking up. And then their knees are all bowed together. Us. They're in unity. Not only is their hearts lifted, but I want you to know that their minds are starting to focus and center on the things of God. And now that their heads and their hearts are united, they're going to go to Bethlehem. Now, I just got a question. I'm sitting there in the dark. Just then I'm thinking, Lord, how did them boys know? How did they know? They're on the Judean hillside, right outside of Bethlehem. How did they know to go into town? Why wasn't this a manger in Jerusalem? Why wasn't this a manger in some other region? How did them boys know to go to Bethlehem? Which manger would they go to? I mean, it's a cave, right? We said, Preacher Darren, it's a stall. Listen, it's a cave with like a stall-like condition in it. How did they know where to go? And God said, read Scripture. And I started reading. And I found something that I ain't never thought about. Back in the book of Micah. The book of Micah, chapter 5. I hope this will be a blessing to you. It was to me. Micah chapter 5. You remember when the wise men came And they said, Herod, the star's disappeared, but where's he born king of the Jews? Herod didn't know. Turns to his religious rulers and they said, why, Micah chapter 5 verse 2 tells us that. But thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is going to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And they said, going to be born in Bethlehem. So the wise men know to go to Bethlehem. Now, shepherds, they don't go to the temple a whole lot because they're not allowed. I don't know. So I got to get this in shepherd language. I got to get this in something. Somehow they, as shepherds, knew. And I started reading the previous chapter. Micah chapter 4. Look at verse number 8. I'm looking up the word flock. Sheep. Shepherds. Just trying to find a nugget I can grab a hold of. And here it is in the previous chapter. Micah chapter 4. Are you looking with me? Verse number 8. It says, and thou, O tower of the flock. Do you see that? Tower of the flock. The stronghold of the daughter of Zion. Unto thee shall it come. Even the dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter, Mary, of Jerusalem. The tower of the flock. My mind started racing. The tower of the flock. I've read that before. Back to the book of Genesis. Answers in Genesis, chapter 35. We're getting in shepherd language now. We're trying to get your speak. Genesis chapter 35, verse 16. Now we got Abraham, and they're journeying from Bethel, verse 16. And there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. It means son of my sorrow, son of my suffering. But at her, listen now. Now, we know that Jacob, his father called him Benjamin. Benjamin means son of my right hand. So you have Abraham, you have Isaac, and you have Jacob. And these promises are happening, handed down from generation to generation. And Jacob had a special love for Rachel. And now Rachel is delivering this last child, and she died. And it broke his heart. She says the child shall be named the son of my suffering. But Jacob said, I know what it's like to have a bad name. My name is Jacob, and it means con artist, deceiver, trickster. But the Lord came by and changed my name to Israel, for as a prince, I'll have power with God. And I'm not going to allow my boy, I love you, honey, but I'm not going to let my boy have a bad name. I'm going to change it to Benjamin, which is son of my right hand. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. No. Verse 19. Jacob died, and Rachel died, and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is called Bethlehem. So Benjamin was born right there at Bethlehem, city of David. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel, that's Jacob, journeyed and spread his tent beyond the, what's that word? Beyond the tower of Edar. Edar means flock. Tower is the word Migdal. Migdal, Edar. So at the edge of Bethlehem is the Tower of Edar. It's called the Tower of the Flock. And I looked it up down in the cave, at the lower part of this thing, of this big Tower of the Flock, where they could keep what? Listen, there's a manger. Now they're on the hillside. They're not at Bethlehem. They're up on the hillside. But when the angel said, this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Listen to this. Y'all listening? Lord, help me. I'm studying. Every year, the Passover, they would choose the lamb that would be the Passover lamb. Right? That lamb, they would take it to protect it and take it to the manger out of the field. They'd wrap it in swaddling clothes. And they keep it in a manger to keep it protected. It'd be marked from... Now listen, every day they're sacrificing lambs, but this lamb's different. He's the lamb that's going to die for the sins of the nation, for the sins of all people. And they took particular care to him. Now here's those shepherds. I'm just imagining. They up on their Judean hillside, just outside of Bethlehem. Have you heard what's been happening, what Romans do to us? And I'm saying, boys, I sure am tired tonight. It's cold out here. I need to get some rest. We've been traveling, walking all day. Listen to them sheep out there. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. This will be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Shepherd talk. Manger. Where is that? Tower of Edar. Migdal Edar. That's just outside Bethlehem. The city of David. The city where Rachel gave birth. We know exactly. They knew exactly where to go. They didn't have to put it on Google Maps. They didn't have to be a wazer and figure out how many policemen are we going to pass on the way. Hey man, hear me. They knew exactly where the Lord showed them, put it in their heart. The tower of the flock. Lord of God, there it is. In Micah chapter 4, the tower of the flock. Amen. The stronghold of the daughter of Zion. That's the place that the Passover lamb is going to be. And look with me. They made haste. Verse 16. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Just like the angel said. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Here he's laying wrapped in swaddling clothes. The very clothes the Passover lamb would be laying in. When they saw it, they went, "Whoa! What human being would take their baby and wrap them in death clothes? You want to put them in a new outfit. Something dainty and sporty. Something makes them look cool. Something that fits just right. Show them off to the world." And all they had was the clothes that they, if they were to die like Rachel did, that they'd have swaddling clothes to be wrapped up in so they could be laid to their rest. And she took them swaddling clothes and laid the Lamb of God in that manger. Woo, don't you know Mary and Joseph, when them boys walked in, said, "What are you doing here? What's..." Holy cow! The Lord Almighty has blessed those shepherds to see. And when they saw it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I mean, don't you know the shepherds went and told everybody. They didn't have Facebook. They had shepherd talk. And they shepherds spoke to everybody. This is the Christ. This is what the angel said. He is the Lord of God. They worshiped him. And other people that they told, they began to wonder. Wow! They made a decision. In fact, their decision made a difference. Look with me. Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. When they returned from seeing Christ, they were changed. All of a sudden, they don't feel like they're dwelling in the darkness of night anymore. All of a sudden, they're not afraid anymore. They're telling everybody. They're glorifying God and praising Him. They're not ashamed. They're not timid. They're not embarrassed. They're having a shouting spell. And you see, that's what it does to us shepherds who are trying to keep watch over our little flock in our house. How many of you got in your home? You're trying to keep watch over them. Under the cover of darkness and night, living in the world in which we now live. But I have good news for you. Christ is born. He doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. He wants you to tell the lost and dying world how that He saved you and changed you. He wants you to glorify Him. He wants you to praise Him. You say, I'm just going to say, shepherds still ought to be keeping watch over their flocks by night. I wrote down some verses. I'm done right. Listen to this verse. Listen to these verses about watching. They kept watch over their flock by night. Now listen, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. You keeping watch over your flock? Let me ask another question. Are you aware? Are you awake? Are you alert? Are you watching for the Lamb to come? He's coming again. We ought to have a watchful Christmas. We ought to say to our youngest, and this, let me tell you the rest of the story. He's coming. And when He comes, He's looking for the blood of the Lamb. Woo! That's atone for our sins. I got another verse. This is from the play out of the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You ought to be watching, shepherds. You ought to be watching, and you ought to be praying. And if you ain't real careful, you'll be just like those three disciples and go to sleep during prayer meeting. I got another verse for you. Matthew 24:44. Watch and be ready. I'm going to put it in Darren's. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Hey, shepherds, are you watching? Or are you so busy? I ain't started shopping yet. I got to get over here to Belk's and down here to Walmart and up here by Ingles. And I got to get this and this. And I got to go to Cousin Elmo's birthday party. And then I got to get to his Christmas gathering. And I got to go see my dog Spot. Listen, there's so many things that you got to run and do. And you're so busy, you lose sight. And the world, have you heard about Omicron and Delta variants of COVID and pandemics and all the threat to do this and that and vaccines and that and this and that? And what are we going to do? Look up! Look up! Get your heart looking towards Jesus! Get off of this stuff! Oh, but preacher, I just can't continue on another step. Honey, He'll appear to you, and He wants you to glorify His holy name. Amen. Preacher, I thought you was rounding the curve. I rounded third base, and I'm going to slide into home. Here we go. Amen. One more. And I promise you, when I slide in, I'm going to be saved. Amen. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. I debated whether I should tell it or not. It's come to my mind. It's come to my heart. I'm going to tell it. I've already been prompted. I was talking with someone this morning. Conversation came up, and man, it's just prompted me. And I said, I think the Lord's prompting me. You're speaking to me, and the Lord's prompting me. So I'm going to say it. I know a couple have a child. She grew to about 16 years of age. She developed leukemia. Such a strange kind of leukemia that she had just a few years to live. They tried every science. They tried everything known to man for them to do. And finally, the doctor said, well, y'all are late 40s, near 50. The only other thing I can suggest is try to have a baby. And maybe we can harvest some cells from that, and we can inject that into you, and the baby will be healthy, and that may change your health around. Your mom and dad, right? Yeah. He said, but I can't because I had a surgery. They said, we're going to reverse it. And they did. And it was successful. And she's near late 40s, going to have a baby. I mean, Sarah had one. 90. They went in to get stem cells, and they got what they needed. The baby was born healthy. Mama, healthy. Daddy, healthy. But now the 17-year-old daughter. Can you imagine, our 18, 19-year-old daughter now. Can you imagine the nights they had? That mother cried. It makes me want to cry. Over her daughter. That daddy cried and begged God, God, do something. God, help us. We've done everything we know to do. God, would you spare? I'm talking about, we've gone through some horrific nights. Even though the days are 24 hours and you may have 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of night, some days feel like they're 72 hours long and 108 hours long and longer. And they took the stem cells and gave it to the daughter. And it worked. She's healed. God's touched her and healed her. I'm just telling you that maybe in the darkness of your night, if you would be faithful to watch, will you watch with me?
Amen.
If you'd be faithful to watch and pray, God's longing, desiring to bring you through this long night that you endure. And I said a minute ago when I was preaching, I thought I said accidentally, but I think it's the Lord. I'm pretty sure it was. He said, this is what I was preaching. He said, they were waiting for the sun, the S-U-N, to come to them. And when the sun got up, the night's gone away. But what about when the S-O-N comes to you? When the S-O-N comes to you in the darkness of your night, you'll have light. And you're going to be changed from this event. It's going to take away fear. And he's going to loose you. He's going to set you free. And you're going to return out of this thing. And you're going to be glorifying and praising God like you've never praised him. You've never seen him before. He's big. I'm done. You stand to your feet. I'm asking you, are you willing to be watchful this Christmas? Would you look right now? Here you are, your head's down, your heart's crushed, you've got your eyes just about shut, you're just about ready to give up. But I'm telling you, God has a message for you. He has encouragement coming your way. Would you hear his message? Would you bow the knee? Would you lift your head? Would you render your heart to him? I wonder if there's somebody you need to bow. Now, you need to step out and come. You say, Pastor, I tell you, I want to worship Jesus. I've had some things that's just astonished me. And I want to be different from this. I believe that the Lord has a purpose. Folks are moving round about. I want to watch. God, help me to watch. I don't want to go to sleep. I want to watch. Help me, God, to be faithful. Help me, God, to be faithful. I'm trying to watch, but I can't protect nobody. I can't keep them in a fixed position. I can't guard them entirely. But Lord, I tell you what I'll do. I think I'll just watch for you. I think I'll just watch for you. Lord, as I bow, I give you thanks and I give you praise. What a Savior. Lord, I ask your blessing. Lord, there are shepherds round about us in this hour. They're trying to keep watch over their own little flock, trying to worry about their own little household. And God, you've come with a message of good news that Christ has been born. Yea, that Christ has given his life and is raised again. And Christ shall soon return. God, help us, Lord, I pray, to be watching, to be looking, to be seeking, to be searching, to be alert, to be awake, to be aware. Lord, to keep our eyes watching and praying always. Help us, God, to watch and be ready for such an hour as we think not. The Son of Man cometh, and we're one day nearer to that than we were yesterday. God, I pray for these that are in the darkness of night. God, that you might touch them. God, that you might help them. God, that you might come to them in this period of darkness and help them, Lord, I pray. Minister to him, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we worship your Son. And I pray we'll return today worshiping, glorifying, and praising your name. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask. Amen and amen.